Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What was rural Iowa like between the First World War and the Great Depression? A new novel explores the time period through the eyes of a 10-year-old girl who must fight to save the family farm from the clutches of a variety of scoundrels. Let's go in depth with S.M. Harris, author of The Northeast Quarter.
Well, Stuart, you have a new novel out, your first novel. It's called The Northeast Quarter, and it's set in a fictional place in rural Iowa.
Yes.
Well, what made you want to write this book? What's behind the book?
I've always loved Edna Ferber novels. And, like, she did Texas with the novel Giant. In other words, she does multi-generational, say, family sagas that spread out, in other words, over several years and usually cover the development of a certain area. And like an example with her, a typical Ferber plot would be a trapper is walking in the woods and he happens to look down and find a gold nugget. Well, the end of the book, he's a grandfather, and he's the newly elected state senator of the area where he found the nugget. And so her stories follow family and, say, rural background and growth. Well, I wanted to write one like this, and so I set it in Iowa. Now, the reason it was Iowa is that my family have roots in Iowa, in the town of Audubon. And this goes back just after the Civil War. And so I have definite roots in Iowa.
Well, and is this part of you exploring your family history, do you think, maybe a little bit?
A little. What it is, my parents grew up in the time period in which the novel takes place, which is between 1918 and 1929. And the book actually, the plot grew out of a promise to my parents. Now, what happened is mother came from I'll jump a minute. I'm the great great grandson of Captain Charles Stuart, who was one of the founders of Audubon. And so when my mother was growing up, there were like several farms in the family, say, estate. And when the Depression hit, it pretty much it knocked them down. In other words, the farms went kind of by the wayside due to the economy and whatever. Okay, mother focused on one farm, and she had a fear or a concern that what would happen to her family if there were a second depression. And so beginning when I was a very little guy, she would say, "Now, Stu, I want you to promise me that you will never sell Section 10. And I'd say, "Okay, now you promise." And what her reasoning was is that if there were another depression, I would then have something, if I were wiped out, I would have somewhere to go and some place to live on until the crisis passed. So she would always, my whole life, "Don't sell Section 10. Well, it got down to where there was only one farm, but she still would always, even on her deathbed, she said, "Stuart," and I said, "Oh, Mother, I know I won't sell the farm. I promise you I won't." So she passed away in 2006, and I still have the farm. And when I was looking or trying to figure a good plot for it, I thought, why not have the promise to my mother? And so this becomes the plot for this book, although I've moved it back to where a young girl named Anne is at a banquet, and her grandfather looks down the long table and he says, "Anne, I want you to promise me that you will never that when you take over and you own all of this, that you will never sell the Northeast Quarter. You will promise me you'll protect it. So Ann says, I will. He says, no, you promise as if your life and soul depends upon this. And she says, okay, Grandpa, you promise me. So she, I will. The grandfather is killed that afternoon. Ann is left with the promise to her grandfather. And, of course, every crook and conniver in the county is going to converge on the estate. Ann is only 10 years old. And the question is, what the heck is she going to do? How can she keep a promise to her grandfather? She's only 10. She's not an adult. And the whole county is going to come after these 20 farms. So this is the plot.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with S.M. Harris, author of The Northeast Quarter.
So you play this out, and she grows up, I presume, and...
Well, she grows up, but she has to match wits with everybody that crosses her path. Her parents, who have lived under the protection of this Colonel Wallace Carson, who founded the whole estate, which is 20 farms, they're not prepared. They've lived under his, say again, benevolent protection, and now suddenly he's gone. And this is the other thing. This is a time, 1918 and 1929, when women had very little power. Now Anne is, she's definitely the colonel's granddaughter. She's tough as nails, living at a time when women had no power, and she's a kid. So she has to match wits with everything, including her own family, who are weak or just unprepared, until she can get old enough to fight back. In the meantime, the country is sliding toward the Great Depression, and so you've got these people fighting over the land, and you've got Anne wanting... determined to keep this promise. And it's like, I guess one way to describe it is like the Hatfields and the McCoys duking it out on the decks of the Titanic. The whole thing is, in other words, what we're watching is the end of an era and this young girl learning to take care of herself.
Did you have to do a lot of historical research?
I would say, yeah, I did. I mean, the thing was, I had a lot of the, like, journals of Captain Stewart and his family, and so I was able to look back, in other words, over, like, terms, the way people talked, the way, things like that. But the plot sort of fell into place.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with S.M. Harris, author of The Northeast Quarter.
So it just fell into place based upon the journals and sort of the way you wanted the story to go to in your head?
Yes, I mean, I had heard my parents and like family members, and then also when we'd go back to Audubon, little bits and pieces. But I thought it would be more what would happen if you got this young woman at a time when women had no power at all, and have her fighting to preserve this one piece of land while everything around her is falling apart. And so this part was like made up, you could say.
Does some of the themes that you explore, does it reflect on contemporary society as well?
Well, one of the things that interested me was the fact that the economy back then was similar to the economy just around, say, before 2008 here. And so, now granted, we haven't gone into any Great Depression, and I certainly hope, you know, we don't. But I noticed that back then, I guess this was after, at the end of World War One, the banks began to raise interest rates. And, of course, this was hurting, say, farmers who had been growing whatever the crops and things to, like, feed the, like, troops. Well, all of a sudden, the, like, war's over. And so now then, there was no need for them to grow as much corn or provide as much, supplies or whatever sustenance for the war. And then you have, of course, the Great Depression. I from what it looked to me like, it began in the rural area before it ever hit the big cities. You know, that between 1918-1929, I mean, they had the Roaring Twenties and, you know, that whole thing. But out in the, like, country, people, farms were beginning to go under. And so I put this in, or have this in my book, too, that slowly the rural area is beginning to feel this before 1929 in the stock market and everything, when it really fell out.
Well, historical novels are always a genre that I like. It's an easy way to learn some history. And and I presume, like a lot of them, you have a lot of characters and complex, you know, plot twists and
yeah. Oh, definitely, yes.
Different characters.
Well, I have, there's two, for example, lawyers in it. And there's, she goes through the ringer. She gets banished, more or less sent to this school that's out of state. And she has to... I'd say there's characters who she thought were her friends turn out not to be, and characters that she didn't know even sympathize with her and step in at the last minute or a last minute to save her. So, yeah, they're like twists and turns all the way through.
Well, where do we find your book? Online, I presume?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's Barnes & Noble, and then it's in ebook form, and it's in Kindle, B&N Nook, Apple iBooks, Google Play, Sony eBooks, and Kobo eBooks.
Well, so easily found. Do you have another novel planned in the future? A sequel,
I'm working
maybe
on it. It's like, I'd say this is in note form. The thing is, Bob, I have to say I'm 70 years old now. It took 6 years to write this, and so I'm thinking, heck, if it's another 6 years, I'll be 4 years short of 80. You know, I like to enjoy life a little bit. But yeah, I am working on something. Yes.
Well, you must enjoy this.
This I did. It's been one heck of a journey. And I would say this to anyone listening: if you've ever dreamed of writing a book, write it. If you're halfway through a book and you think, I don't finish it, you can do it. It's been a journey I wouldn't trade for anything.
Thanks to S.M. Harris for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In-Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In-Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In-Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.